Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
So I've taken the position, which is quite common among Catholics. I got a personal feeling about abortion, but the right rule for government is to let women make their own decisions.
Well, I'm going to ask him the same question that Lincoln put to Stephen Douglas, who essentially argued the same thing on slavery. Douglas said he was personally opposed to slavery, but thought each state should have the right to vote it up or down. So here's the question. Mr. Kane, why are you personally opposed?
Selective outrage. I know that I need to be mad because something wrong has happened. And that's true. But the last thing I'm going to do is have ownership of the problem as if I'm part of it.
New dads like getting into issues with Florida.
Why is it that we hear so often, I am personally opposed to abortion, but, and we generally, we'll hear it from our fellow citizens. Then we'll hear it from highly placed, and I mean in terms of the government, highly placed Christians who really ought to know better and whose church teaches quite different. Say, for instance, highly placed Roman Catholic politicians, great examples in the two vice presidential candidates, one of them an active Catholic, the other a former Catholic. Tim Kaine says he's personally opposed to abortion. Mike Pence, who is no longer a Catholic, maintains the Catholic teaching there on abortion, as I think the words of John Paul II were, intrinsically evil. And if something's intrinsically evil, you don't want to see the government either promote it or permit it. Now, do you? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, July the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about vice presidential candidates Tim Kaine and Mike Pence and Roman Catholicism. Father Robert Sirico will be our guest of the Acton Institute. After that, we'll be remembering Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, trying to get a handle on those three New Testament saints who figure prominently in some of the Gospels, especially John's Gospel. We get it all culminating with the raising of Lazarus. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, an hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to handle what Pastor Chris Roseborough calls closed Bible preaching. We'll see what that means. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites to play for you. You can hear them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can go and vote at our Facebook fan page already, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll play the four sound bites for you, and then you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The listener with the best vote will get the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. That's for the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about vice presidential candidates Tim Kaine and Mike Pence and Roman Catholicism, Father Robert Sirico. He's president of the Acton Institute based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled The Catholic Paths of Pence and Kaine. Father Sirico, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You recount a story from almost three decades ago, the celebration of your ordination of the priesthood and an encounter with your brother. Tell us that story, and what does it illustrate for you?
Well, we were at the reception, and I was talking with my brother, and my aunt came over, and she said, in great New York fashion, to my brother, she said, "This is your brother's first Mass, and you didn't receive Holy Communion at Mass. What's that about?" And he said, "I didn't go to confession." And I said to him, "You're the last bad Catholic in America." And I said that with great admiration, because everybody else went to Mass. I mean, I don't know their status, you know, but a lot of people go to Mass and go to communion without having gone to confession. And what it underscored was the necessity to have the right disposition when you go, that this isn't just a pro forma thing. It oughtn't to be seen as a rite of passage, much less an entitlement. And my brother seemed to have gotten that.
It puts you in mind of, as you say, today's political landscape. How so?
Well, I mean, my brother came at this not with any political considerations. He's probably one of the least politically correct people on the planet. He just knew a definitional thing. This is what you do, and this is how you do it. And he didn't need to have anybody tell him that he couldn't receive communion. On the other hand, when you're a politician in a public life, and granted, you know, you have lots of pressures and tugs in different directions, you seem to lose some of that clarity at times. And I think in this particular circumstance, with regard to Mr. Cain, having changed his longstanding position on the Hyde Amendment just 3 weeks before his nomination as Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate, I think is very telling.
You posit something, and I find it intriguing. Many people would consider that Roman Catholics have entered the political bloodstream of the United States
right.
very handily since John F. Kennedy and other kind of more famous...
Lots of indications of the Supreme Court composition, the Senate, the House, all of the landscape, the whole infrastructure of American society, culture, economy. Yeah, we've arrived.
You ask a very intriguing question. You say, has the U.S. accepted Catholics, or has it merely accepted certain kinds of Catholics? What
right.
do you mean?
Well, could you imagine if the six Supreme Court justices who are baptized Catholics were actually practicing, regularly attending, and believing Catholics in the mold of Scalia or Thomas? Could you imagine the editorial page of the New York Times? They'd be talking about a religious litmus test. This is too Catholic. I mean, these are people who take it too seriously. But that you have people who are lapsed Catholics, what I call my brother is a bad Catholic. We used to use that term, by the way. That was a legitimate term. It wasn't meant to be provocative or derogatory. It was just meant to give a category, maybe an inept term, but nonetheless, what you have now are people who are Catholic in name and heritage and not in practice and belief.
And we're not talking about issues, just any issues the Catholics may disagree about. There are different calibers of issues for Roman
exactly.
Catholics, aren't there?
There's a whole hierarchy of things that there are some things that are not definitional. There are some things that are not grave in the sense that, you know, they determine certain very key elements of Catholic dogma. You know, if you are a member of the Catholic Church, one would be expected that you believe in God, right? If you don't believe in God, why would you consider yourself a Catholic other than in a nominal sort of way? And so there are gradations. You know, issues of economics, issues of many public policies are not magisterial in the sense that they define a belief that they are binding on the conscience of Catholics. Catholics will disagree about minimum wage laws or tax rates or how welfare policy should be implemented or not implemented. But when it comes to something like abortion and abortion on demand and abortion in all 9 months of the pregnancy or whether taxpayer funding, I mean, you know, Mr. Cain, up until 3 weeks ago, agreed that taxpayer money should not be used, even though he said, I'm personally opposed, but politically going to stay out of that battle. He said, you shouldn't force people to pay for abortions, up until 3 weeks ago. Now, I don't think that the personally opposed argument makes any sense to me, because all you have to do is substitute the word abortion for slavery, and you see the absurdity of it. If you believe abortion is what Catholics historically have believed abortion to be, then that is pretty significant. And this, by the way, isn't something that just came up in the last election cycle, nor the last 10 election cycles. This is something that for 2,000 years, there was a unanimous agreement on the part of all Christians with regard to abortion, not just Catholics. And now in the last 50, 60 years, it's changed.
Pope John Paul II employed a phrase, I believe, when talking about abortion that I find very useful as a Lutheran. He spoke of it as being intrinsically evil.
Right, which means that the very nature of what is being done is evil. In other words, it's not just evil on the side, you know, evil in this circumstance, but not in that circumstance. You could say drinking is not intrinsically evil, alcohol, drinking alcohol, but drinking and driving, drinking and operating on a patient because of the nature of the thing would be considered evil in those circumstances, but not intrinsically evil, not by its nature. But abortion is by its nature, by the very definition of what it is, the taking of an innocent human life is by its own nature evil.
Father Robert Sirico is our guest. We're talking about vice presidential candidates Tim Kaine, Mike Pence, and Roman Catholicism. When we come back, why is it that the higher you rise politically, the more you're asked, required even, to compromise? Stay tuned.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Those who portray themselves as victims soon come to perceive themselves as victims and eventually paralyze themselves as victims. The only reason to be opposed to abortion at all is because it intentionally kills an innocent human being. If morally it's no different than pulling a tooth, I don't care how many abortions a person has.
When a pastor just faithfully proclaims the gospel to his people, gives them the forgiveness of sins, he's preparing them for that moment. In an instance like that, you can just simply say, don't be afraid. These men have come here to take our lives. But they're too late. Our lives already belong to Christ.
They are not rightly handling God's word, and these signs and wonders that they are pointing to are actually leading people away from the proper understanding of what Christ has done.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can already vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can listen to those four soundbites right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. They're there for you to listen to. And then all the contact information is there for you to vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, we're talking about vice presidential candidates Tim Kaine, Mike Pence, and Roman Catholicism. Father Robert Sirico of the Acton Institute is our guest. What I have noticed, and I'm sure everyone else has noticed it as well, is this isn't only true of Roman Catholics. It's true of pretty much all religious people who enter politics at this level. The higher you rise politically, Father Sirico, the more you are asked or even required to compromise on these basic moral principles. You mentioned as an example Tim Kaine.
Well, he's the most recent example, and I think at this moment the clearest example, because as I say, 3 weeks ago, if you had he answered a question 3 weeks ago about this, and you know said he was in favor of the Hyde Amendment, and then come the Democratic convention, and this has been the frog has been in the water, and the water has been turned up to boil over a period of time. This didn't happen overnight. He wasn't just thrown into this thing, you know. I mean, there is a letter, a famous letter that Ted Kennedy wrote to a constituent, talking about why he was against abortion. Jesse Jackson once called abortion black genocide. And this is not, I mean, this is within my memory. I was alive when these things happened. And now we have seen a very different thing, that the candidate for president of the United States in the Democratic Party could not choose a vice presidential candidate who did not capitulate on this issue of public funding for abortion. This is very significant.
You mentioned earlier the I'm personally opposed argument, and you said it just simply falls apart when substituting any other moral issue in
right
there. But it is the stock and trade of yeah so many high-level Roman Catholic politicians.
Yeah, and I think it's a very... This goes back to a meeting that took place in Hyannisport with the Kennedys and a number of theologians who came up with this kind of justification. It was probably most prominently made an argument during the governorship of Cuomo in New York, the father, not the present governor of New York. And that has just kind of picked up steam because it, to some people's minds, has some plausibility. As a logical construct, I just don't see it. I mean, there have to be some issues that are more significant than others. And if abortion, if the taking of an innocent human life... I mean, here's the conversation I would love to see happen with Kaine. Why are you personally opposed to abortion? What is it about abortion that you are opposed to? And the moment he said what it was, you'd have your answer right there. Because he would say something to the effect, I am personally opposed to abortion. I would never fund an abortion. I would never consent to an abortion. I would never facilitate an abortion because it is the taking of an innocent human life. This you're personally opposed to, but you think others could do it? And by the way, you know, Todd, this isn't even a matter of religion, honestly. I mean, we're talking about it in a religious context because it gives the occasion to it. This is a matter of logic. This is a matter of science. Either life begins at conception or it doesn't. And that's an empirical claim. And that can be disproven or proven by what we know about genetics and science.
The contrast here is, and at least he's kind of come, I guess you could say he's in a kind of wicked way, become consistent with his previous voting record, the man who said, I'm personally opposed.
Right.
But then went on to get 100% rating from Planned Parenthood on how he actually governed. He's actually, ironically, now being consistent in that he hardly even needs to say anymore that
right
he's personally opposed, does
right
he?
Right. And as I close that article in the Wall Street Journal, you know, with this kind of quip, what's the difference between a dissenter? The word dissenter we use with regard to Catholics who dissent, who disagree with church teaching on significant matters. What's the difference between a dissenter and a Protestant? And the answer is the Protestant has integrity. And here, you know, we've talked about Kaine, but Pence is a man who has left the Catholic Church. He formally has withdrawn from the Catholic Church. At least he's consistent. Now, that pains me as a priest. I know it pains his mother from what I've read about the family. They're a very close Catholic family. It pains them. But he, at some point in his life, and this was not a political decision, it was when he was in college, said, I no longer find the Catholic Church, whatever the doctrinal position he holds, you know, I don't know the intricacies of his leaving the Catholic Church. But he acted in a way that has a certain amount of integrity. I just don't see, and I should also say, I'm not a Republican, you know, I'm not... making this point as a political point. I'm making this point as a point of logic and truth and honesty and integrity and consistency.
I wonder about kind of the average mass-going, confession-going Catholic. And I'm just asking you to speculate here, Father, but how much does such a person as a citizen, as a voter, simply long for a Roman Catholic lawmaker, legislator, candidate, whoever it may be, who would say, I am a devout Roman Catholic, and I hold to the views of my church, and its moral theology will guide how I govern. There are not many of them out there, but I'm sure they long for them, don't they?
No, I mean, I'm sure they do, but I just want to be cautious here. I'm not saying that the best qualified candidates for any office are devout, practicing Roman Catholics. I don't know if it's true that Martin Luther, you're a Lutheran, you tell me. This has been one of these quotes that's been associated with Luther for a long time, but I've never been able to find the source. But he's said to have said something to the effect that I'd rather be governed by a smart Turk than a dumb Christian. And if he didn't say it, he shouldn't have said it. Meaning that the personal piety of a person does not necessarily qualify them to serve in a civic or political office. That there are other virtues or requirements to do that, and piety might not be, you know, I'd be happy to vote for a person who is a non-believer or who, you know, according to my theological understanding, is in doctrinal error. I know a lot of people did that with Romney in the last election, who didn't agree with the Mormon theology, but said he was the best choice. So it's not a matter of a religious test in my mind. But come on, let's at least be consistent here.
Is there a possibility that just as there was kind of a Kennedy wave of Catholic, Roman Catholic politicians out there, the personally opposed but group, that there may in the future be a different kind of wave of not only Roman Catholic, but mindful religious politicians who say, you know, maybe I don't leave my faith and my moral theology at the door when I walk into the legislature?
Yeah, and of course there was such a wave historically. I mean, a great example of a person whose religious commitments vivified his civic commitments and leadership, and his name was Martin Luther King. I mean, the whole of the civil rights movement, and for that matter, abolition, was a religious movement. It only, in the later stages of it, extended beyond religion because it was a moral call that convinced people in the United States of the evil of prejudice and racism and segregation and all the rest of it. Why can't we have that today? And it goes to the point that I was saying earlier, and using Catholicism as an example, but trying to apply it much more broadly, the principle. Namely, it isn't that Catholics have been integrated. It's only a certain kind of Catholic. It's only a certain kind of religious believer, one whose religion is not impolite, one whose religion is not politically incorrect, one whose religion is not too clearly defined and too demanding.
Father Robert Sirico is president of the Acton Institute based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled The Catholic Paths of Pence and Kane. You'll find a link to it and to the Acton Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Father Sirico, thank you very much.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Todd.
The whole difficulty is to resist that temptation toward compromise, and it's pretty relentless. The pressure from a Christless world to compromise on things like abortion, the sexual revolution pushes and pushes and pushes slowly but surely till it gets what it wants everywhere, and now it wants what it wants in the church, too. That's part of the subject of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and order it for yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. When we come back, Dr. Walter A. Meyer II joins us. We're going to talk with him about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus being remembered by the church today.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.